Welcome, everyone, to the Story Points Podcast. It's the only tech show that I'm aware of where software engineers and non-software engineers get together to discuss different topics inside the world of tech. I'm Roger, and I am a founding engineer at Balanced.
And I'm George. I'm a front-end engineer at Capsule.
I'm Greg, data analyst at Brinks.
And for this week, we have a special guest to help us discuss our topic.
I'm Jonathan.
Okay.
I am a fiber optic systems integrator for NBC.
Ooh. Great. So something's a little different here.
And you Joe.
I was going to say, I'm not talking about Joe missing, but
I got a title now.
That's it.
New job, baby. So yeah, the job that I've been talking about, that I've been interviewing for, it's pretty much been a process the last 3 months. I finally landed it. I start next week, actually. Woot. And it's going to be my gateway out of accounting. So data analyst, you know, data sciences, I feel like it's kind of, you know, that it's in every industry, but it's an industry of its own. And so I'm interested to see kind of how the culture changes and how the culture is at a different company, which, you know, is the topic today.
Yeah, it sounds a little convenient that you got a role as a data analyst after you started talking on our podcast.
Listen, man, I just said API requests, and the guy was like, holy boom. Crap.
Hired. Like,
this guy knows.
Back end?
Shit.
Front end? You know accounting and APIs?
Hired. Yeah, so we're going to talk about culture. I think culture is a pretty big thing in the tech industry. I also think people who are not working in the tech industry kind of have a certain view, right, of what George and I normally deal with day to day when we were going to the office. So I guess I want to ask you, Jonathan and Greg, what you guys thought of, like, hearing about our workplace. I know you visited my office before, yeah. Jonathan and Compass.
Yeah, definitely nothing got done there. a lot of hanging out, drinking craft beers in the break room, yeah. Free coffee, ping pong.
Don't forget pool.
Pool.
Not wrong. Yeah.
Comfy chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's definitely that.
We had the Harry Potter floor.
The Harry Potter floor. Yeah, all types of stuff. Yeah. It's definitely different than your average job.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Greg, I don't know.
No, he nailed it. That's exactly kind of what I imagined. I even asked my wife before this, who's in the medical field. She had a similar description, but definitely more towards like the nerdy side of, I guess, people who like computers. She's like, I just picture, you know, a sea of computers, everyone's head down, working into their computer, nobody's talking to each other, everyone's just messaging each other, but it's also like a chill environment, like nobody's in suits, like everything's kind of like fast paced. So yeah, and then as Jonathan said, you know, the ping pong tables, we've just heard about the beers, mm-hmm. free lunches, yeah. all that stuff, all those perks that I've never experienced, but I've heard a lot about.
Very laid back.
I don't know about you, George. I wouldn't be able to work in an environment where it's just quiet and just typing.
Yeah,
like, I mean, that is not my...
At least, like, some people talking, music in the background. You used to play music for your team.
Yeah, we had, like a little... We called the den.
Yeah.
For some reason, our team was, like, in a den, in a little closed-off room. And I would just play music. We would just hang out, talk, work.
Hit me with the sample. Like, what was that playlist? That was it. Did you like ask people for stuff, or
I would ask people. I think at the time I was on a big Post Malone kick.
Nice.
I feel like
nice.
He would join this podcast. That's he's good. Pretty nerdy.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. But yeah, what do you think, George? Like, I know you transitioned into tech and coming from, like, where do you work before Zillion? I don't even remember, but that was like a traditional kind of office.
Application support. No, tech support.
Yeah, I don't even know the company name.
It was a consulting firm. So I worked at, it was based in Greenwich, but we had a bunch of clients in the city, like a lot of financial places, Bloomberg. And yeah, those were all like, everyone there wore suit and ties to work. And I was just like the IT guy walking around fixing things. But yeah, the tech field is definitely much different. I think for the better, it's more like, I think it's more focused on, like, we don't care what you do as long as you get your work done. So it's like, you can take a million coffee breaks if you're wired on coffee and you're going to work and you're going to, like, produce so much. It's good to, like, get up, walk around, go talk to someone, figure out a problem. Because I feel like we've mentioned, like, a lot of software engineering is like problem solving. So yeah. It's how can I enable myself to solve the most problems? And whatever does that makes the most productive software engineers.
Yeah, and that's why Google, they're most known for like all those perks of, yeah, we're going to do your dry cleaning. We're going to go take care of your dog. And, you know, you have a babysitter on campus. Wild. You have a scooter to get back and forth.
Your dry cleaning?
Must be. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're going to make sure you wipe real clean so they don't see those skid marks.
Wow. I have a question for Jonathan, because your job is more hands-on. Like, the three of us are more prone to the desk, you know, sitting at a computer at a desk all day. So since you're moving around, do you have any similarities in terms of like talking to people? If you have a problem, is it easy for you to go find someone for help, or are you just kind of
your own? It depends. It's a little bit of both. I think during the COVID time, because I never left the office, so to speak, it was hard to find people because there was only a handful of us working in the building. But for the most part, I don't have like my own desk really. We have a shop that we work out of, but we work in equipment rooms and studios, and there's no really kind of a identity to call your own there. So it's a little different. The perks definitely work differently. We're almost in some ways kind of like construction workers, because we just build different projects at a time. So it's definitely, to hear about jobs that give you perks, it's like wildly different from where I come from.
Yeah, you're also contracted and you're not office, like you said.
Yeah.
So it's like...
That's right. Like, you know, it's interesting though, because people kind of create, like I said, like I don't necessarily have my own desk, but in my shop, people know where I sit, mm-hmm. and no one ever sits in my seat. And for the most part,
DP on
that's
that?
What happens. It's like almost like dogs getting their territory. Yeah. But everyone kind of creates their own identity. Like people will create like stashes in the equipment room where like they'll maybe put you know, some of their tools or parts that they build jobs for. And it's like just kind of known, like that's almost the underground culture there for sure. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely different. It's definitely kind of like dog eat dog. In this particular building, we are in a union, so we do have that. But at the end of the day, if work dries up for whatever reason, or they're having too many on-air shows, airing Olympics or something, they will lay people off.
Yeah, because you are. I don't think we've talked about that. You are contract.
Contract.
But you're kind of like cemented your own position there, right?
It's like in between. You're hired as an employee for the company, but at the same time, they call it daily hire. So you're almost kind of contracted with them, where it's just known that if they don't want you the following week or whatever it is, you're gone. Yeah, that's it. They'll determine your work schedule. Now, having said that, they're pretty fair. For the most part, you know when those layoffs are coming. It's not just like next week you do not have a job. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, they do try to take people's lives into account, but it is also still a business. A lot of people in this industry have jumped around and worked at a lot of different facilities. So, you know, it's like people are kind of used to it. Like they'll maybe work there for a couple months, couple years, move, work somewhere else. Some guys like myself have been more steady there for sure. And in some ways, we've created our own identity where we've kind of found our home, so to speak. But at the same time, that can change.
Yeah, yeah. So. That's super interesting. So like, you know, Greg mentioned in the beginning of the show, we're going to be talking about culture and more specifically tech culture. But I think, you know, we're going to take a different approach to it where we're not going to focus so much on the perks like we opened with, you know, the pool table, the ping pong, the craft beers, the free coffee and lunches. I think everyone knows about that. You guys know about it. You've heard about it. You've seen it on social media. We're going to talk about like things that are really different. I feel that I wouldn't be able to live without. I can live without the free lunches and coffee. I kind of live with that now, right? Like I work from home most of the time, but that's one of the things is like you said, Jonathan, you had to stay in the office because you're contracted. You have to go into NBC. And for us, we can work from home. Yeah. We can kind of, you know, if I have to go take Shelby to the vet, I can go work from home, get my work done, take her to the vet, kind of do that whole thing without having to worry about, you know, missing a day of work.
Yeah.
I think a big part of that is like the tech field is so new relative to every other industry in the world. So you kind of have fresh mindset. It's, you know, it's a younger crowd.
Yeah.
It's obviously becoming more and more popular today. But because of that, I feel like it's definitely been the leader in straying from the traditional office and work life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've mentioned it before, and I think it was working from home. I can't remember, but previous episode that we've had where balanced, it was a cool thing where I was able to work with the founding team to build the culture for the company. And one of the things is like, yeah, life will come first. So you schedule work around your life. We don't care when your work gets done. Just get it done when we're planned for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a cool thing, right? It's a big shift and change. You're seeing people, some companies switching to like 4 days a week instead of five.
Yeah.
Which
is
like, whoa.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's definitely something I envied of you guys prior to COVID. Working from home, at least in the accounting field, was just maybe if you were really in there, you'd been in a company for a long time where they trust you to do it, maybe you could get away with it. But for the most part, it was still very taboo. Like you were expected to be in the office. And if you weren't in the office, it's because you were sick or on vacation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was definitely one thing, you know, we touched on it in the work from home episode, but definitely one part of the tech culture that I think was really great was, like you said, putting life first, where I need to be home for a day. Yeah. I need to take care of this errand. I'll still get my work done. I'm just not coming into the office. And I think having that option, a lot of other industries have started to take that method.
Yeah.
And I think the tech industry was kind of the reason, kind of like the front runner for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Like those things, that was that this is a question for George and Roger, were those things a reason you got into tech, or you already interested and then it was just kind of a bonus?
For me, I was kind of like you. I saw it from the outside and I was like, oh, that's cool. I want to work from home. But then once I started working from home, I quickly realized like, oh man, this is almost like a trap because you're expected to get so much work done. So like initially you're like, yeah, I have all the time in the world. And then you spend half the day like bullshitting, and then you realize, oh man, I need to get all my work done. So nowadays that was definitely something that like I had to get used to. It drew me initially, but now I feel like it was half a challenge.
I think it's super, like Roger said, one of the main points of this episode is to not focus on all like the positive. So I think you can definitely see a grass is greener on the other side type of thing going on here. Mm. And I'm sure Jonathan hears about some things where his job, he's like, damn, I wish I had that. And I'm sure there's definitely some things where, you know, like that we'll get into that I'm sure you would feel the same. So I'm just interested in, like, Jonathan, obviously you work with your hands. You don't have like an office. You're constantly moving around the building. Is that the type of job you've always wanted? Do you think you could also work in like that office environment, but you're just happy where you are?
Because like you're very hands-on, right?
Yeah.
You've always been, right?
Yeah.
Each other for a long time.
For sure.
You've always been. And that was one thing I had a trouble with like Apple. Leaving Apple is like, I didn't want to leave because I was going to lose that. Like, I can't sit at a desk all day. I can't be just stationary. So be interesting to hear.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring that up. This is something I've thought about. I think that at the time I started doing this line of work, it was perfect for me. Is it kind of exactly what I wanted without really knowing that? I definitely am very hands-on. I, for years, loved the fact that I do move around. I'm never in the same place. I know that building better than most people that work in that building, even longer than I have. So I do love that aspect. I think that as I get older, I could definitely see myself progressing to a place where, yes, if I had a job where I'm sitting at a computer, I'd be content with that, especially having the background that I do have now. So I'm definitely happy that it didn't start that way. I think I would probably be pretty bored, to be honest with you, if I started in that. Now, that could be different if that was the case. Like maybe if I started off doing coding or something, my mindset would be totally different. Maybe those perks.
I feel like we've talked about this before. We don't say the C word here. We don't say coding.
Need me to teach you Python?
Like, yeah.
He's a senior Python developer. Yeah. I don't know if you know that.
But maybe if I was some kind of engineer or something,
there we go.
I would, you know, I'd feel different. But
it's funny because when I was in like IT support, I always thought of like, I am the person going to the important people, helping them, fixing something for them so that they can continue working.
Yeah.
So when I switched to engineering, I became the person sitting down and I was like the important one just working stationary. So to me, it was more like a shift in like...
It's interesting you feel that way because I feel like a lot of people I know are just like, you guys are nothing without us. Like without us building the servers and setting up your network, we're like, what would you actually be doing?
You know? I have a question. What was like the dumbest thing you had to do for someone like when you
turn on their computer?
Yeah,
definitely. Literally
turn on their computer. Wow. Yeah,
I mean, IT can be special.
I love
like
it.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like a lot more than you think.
It's interesting. Like, so you worked in your application support we've talked about before, and then you moved into software engineering, but as application support, did you ever feel like you were part of that tech culture?
Yeah, I think just working at a startup, definitely. Yeah. Just because it was pre-COVID, everyone was in the office. So you're like exposed to it. You can ask, hey, I can help with this. I have free time. Like I was talking to my manager and I said, like, I have free time. I can help with this. Like I really understood our system. I was able to like train other people. So I think it's just being at a startup, especially like the smaller the startup, maybe the more exposure you'll get because it's very much like all hands on deck, whoever can help, help. Yeah. And yeah,
I kind of have a question though, because you guys were talking about perks and like, is there a benefit to working for a startup versus an already established tech company? Like, do startups typically have less perks? You know what I mean? Like, are you expected to work even more because they're like trying to build the company off the ground?
I'm going to make an assumption, then let me know if I'm right or wrong. I would assume that since, like, you had mentioned tech jobs sometimes are very competitive, and if they want someone, they want to get them, whatever it takes. I'd assume startups would probably try to push perks to attract people, the best people, to assure the success of that startup.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty true. Like, you know, you hear about those Silicon Valley bros, right? Who they're not leaving unless they have those baristas still on, like, on hand for them, or they're not getting a certain amount of equity to the company. Yeah. It's like,
what a life.
They don't really do much at Google. I know you don't. Google Docs still is working.
Yeah.
How much more can you improve it? But there's a huge difference in like working for a startup versus even like Compass before they IPO'd. It was a huge difference from when I started to where they were now at, like towards the end.
Interesting.
For sure.
In a good way? Both?
For me, I'm most worried about like security. Like at a startup, it's more volatile. So like COVID hit, Compass laid off a bunch of people. Like if that happened at Google, you know, there's a lot more
like,
money flowing around. So
I don't know
they
if
can
this is a reflection
that.
Of me. I was never worried of that.
At like Compass?
Any startup.
But that's that's kind of interesting though, because Compass was still on the up even during the pandemic, right? And they ended up IPOing like during the
midst of the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point brought up though, and that's definitely a culture thing. I think like if you're in the tech field, especially if you're looking for startup jobs, you have to be okay with that idea.
Yeah, like were you ever worried of being fired? I mean, we've talked about it. You've been laid off at your like previous job, but before that, were you ever worried?
No. Yeah. And I like at any job I've had, it's never been a fear and it's never been common. Of course, like you hear about like corporations laying people off and blah, blah, blah. But like at a startup, it's I feel like there's definitely that extra sense of this thing could blow up at any moment.
Yeah.
It's
and I'm on the ship.
Kind of how people that like in my line of work feel like you never know. And that can happen too. They could just shut a project down or like, you know, never mind.
So
we got more important stuff to do.
Like on that, there's always one company. If you talk to like any engineer where they'll pretty much say like if they know about they've kind of worked in a bunch of startups and they've worked at like big companies, they'll always say like we would never work at Amazon. Like I don't think I'd ever work at Amazon.
Yeah. Agreed.
And the reason is because, yeah, they're a big giant tech company. Their culture is trash. They have this mentality. One of the things that you always hear is they have this mentality of every quarter they will lay off the bottom 15%, something like that.
I thought it was like 50. The worst engineer on the team.
Yeah, so every team pretty much get it. Yeah. Every team will lay off.
It's like Survivor.
It's a rat race. Yeah,
pretty much. So at a certain point, you're going to be the worst person, because they also have the mentality of you're always hiring
the best.
The 50%. Like the engineer that you're interviewing has to be better than the 50% of the engineering team. Mm-hmm. So like it's very, very competitive.
Yeah.
You have to be on top of
it. And I never even thought of it till you just said that too. Like startups must be great, because if you're willing to join a startup, your goal is to make sure that startup succeeds, right? So everyone kind of has the same mission in mind.
Yeah.
Yep. Like ideally, and everyone's going to be putting in their best effort, because I would think that creating a startup and having it succeed is one of the biggest accomplishments you can have. Mm-hmm. It's like in accounting, it's like my biggest accomplishment is that I file something and the government doesn't come and attack me a couple months later.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting just being part of this journey of like being the founding team for Balance, because we are setting that culture. You know, I said it, I think in our interviewing episode, where like, I don't want to hire someone for the sake of hiring them. I want to make sure that they do fit the culture. They do collaborate with us. And also make sure like their first 6 months is successful, because I don't want them just to like, yeah, we hired them, we have no idea what they're doing, and then 6 months later they're just like, well, you didn't perform. It's like, well, did they know what they had to perform up to at all? That's a big thing for tech culture, is we do all, like some companies do like quarterly reviews, and that's just to get a benchmark of where you're at. Mm. Not necessarily like, yeah, you're gonna get fired or you're gonna get a pay bump or anything. It's just to know how you're performing. And I think that's a big thing about tech, is like, it's very transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel like, and again, this could be a company to company thing, I don't feel like I had that same experience. We would have reviews annually. Very rarely would you kind of have any sort of catch up during the year.
Yeah.
And then annually it would just kind of be, it was almost up to you to be like, hey, remember when I did this? So a lot of the good things that you did early in the year may not be as fresh in your mind. Mm-hmm. It's harder for you to express how important it was. Like your boss or your supervisor may not remember. And that was definitely a challenge sometimes. So I do think that's definitely a big part. Just hearing about that, that I think is very valuable. Even though I feel like when you make it annual, it's very easy to dread it, both from the reviewer and from the reviewee, like the person being reviewed. So I would think if you do it more frequently, it just becomes more natural and more honest too.
Yeah. And I know this whole topic was scheduled for later on in our notes, and we're trying to be official, but we'll talk about it now, of like what it's like for us. But I want to ask you two of like, do you have control over your career in your positions that you're at?
I guess should I go first?
Go for it.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Fight to the death.
I lose.
No, not exactly.
Yeah.
In my position, because you're pretty much hired to just perform a function. We don't have meetings with our managers. How are you doing? What could be done better? Like where you can kind of explain whether or not you deserve more pay or not. Like that you can do if you really want to talk to them one on one. You can probably ask for it, but it's definitely not part of the culture. And it can be taboo depending on your relationship with your supervisor or manager.
But do you think, because you are contract, do you think you can get away with doing something like your, maybe not you, but like NBC, do you think they can get away with kind of having that investment?
Yes, I think they can get away with it. I think that's actually where they're trying to head right now, because you have a lot of people that have been working in this particular business for like 30 years, and they've been there, they've been on and off. And obviously there's a reason why they keep coming back.
Yeah.
Like the company obviously values you to a certain point. There's stuff that they know that you can do, and they trust you to work on their on-air systems. So yes, they absolutely can put more effort in to talk to their employees one-on-one, just to gauge where their head's at. I think it's just it's a process that as the company matures into this new age, and it's definitely like from my perspective that tech companies are leading this charge. Like they care about work-life balance.
Yeah.
Where a lot of older companies, it's just like you come in, you do your 8 hours, you go home, like your boss is always in charge. He just tells you how to do your job. You do it and that's it. The company makes money. This is like whatever their earnings at the end of the year, all that stuff. So
it's funny you mentioned that because it wasn't until I worked in tech and even I got to like a level of Compass where it was a thing called people managers. So like my team at Compass, I had a manager, but I was the one making the technical decisions. Like I was like, he would just come to me like, hey, this is what's on the roadmap. And he was the one to make sure, okay, are we happy as a team? Are you getting to where you have to be? And then is there any blockers, anything I can do on the people side? And like, he pretty much kind of grew your career. He was responsible of your career. So if you didn't get a promotion, that's on him.
Yeah.
So his goal is to get you that promotion. Or that's nice. Their goal is to get you the promotion.
Yeah, that's definitely
a little... Like, that's unheard of, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's definitely unheard of. That's going extra. You know, because again, because we're pretty much contracted, so it's like you're just expected to do your job.
And, yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, like, I think their actual staff employees are taken care of a little better in that regard, where they probably have regular meetings, but they also probably talk to their superiors a lot more. Whereas, again, we're all over the place. We're just performing a function. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, if you voice your opinion, it doesn't really matter because it's like that's not how they want it done. They just want you to do the job.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about like a little bit of the culture of contractors, right? If you did voice your opinion, did you ever get like, hey, you're just a contractor, we can replace you tomorrow? Like, do you ever get that feel?
Yeah, I've definitely kind of gotten that before, or like, well, it doesn't matter because this is what it is.
Yeah.
It depends like who I'm working for, meaning like different engineers and stuff. Like some people who know me value my opinion more, so they will listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's definitely part of it. And then it also kind of like, you also kind of need to understand what you are. So it's like, you only push it if you think it's worth it. And like worth that time.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like, you kind of understand how these companies operate. So you just know what you have to do. So it's like almost not worth, I guess, putting up a fight for certain things, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I have a story to go back to your original question about like transparency in terms of growth within a company. So my first job, when I left, I walked into my boss's office. I was like, hey, I'm putting in my 2 weeks, just so you know, I got a new job, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, really? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, I had plans for you. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I had like, you know, I was hoping you'd stay around and we could like move you up. And I'm like, in what way? And I think he just like didn't expect me to like challenge it. Be like, okay, like what is your plan?
Yeah.
Because I was one of four staff accountants. And the most senior person was still just a staff accountant. They weren't like a senior staff accountant. Like there was no, and I'm like, okay, where's the progression really? Then fast forward to the second job and it's somewhat of a similar situation. I think in the accounting field, and again, it could depend on the company. It's almost, it's on your own. It's on yourself to kind of progress your career. Like for example, in accounting, a lot of people will go and get their CPA. And once you have that, once you have those three letters at the end of your name, it opens up, you know, you can pretty much work anywhere. You can work in a public firm, a private firm. But it was frustrating at times too, because people would leave and you'd be like, oh, I think that guy would probably be good for this job. Like someone within the company, and then they would hire from outside the company. Yeah. Like I was constantly seeing people being hired from outside the company.
And that's,
which if they're the most qualified, that's great. But at the same time, you want to see them kind of grooming people to be like, hey, we think you would fit in this position at some point.
Yeah.
This is what we need to see from you in order for that to happen. Like I never had those discussions, but I also never brought them up. And I think it was more in that field in the previous companies, it was more on your own self to be like, hey, what's your plan for me? But I actually don't know if there was one.
Yeah. It's like a weird kind of middle ground where you should always be trying to improve yourself no matter what role you're in.
Yes.
And I know, I think we've talked about before, Jonathan, of like, you know, when you're at NBC, you're always trying to like learn more, right? Whatever is going to enhance your career, even if it means extra work.
Yeah.
And I think it's like a mentality of some people. It's just like extra work. I'm not getting paid for it. So no.
100%.
And it's like, well, how do you know? How would your employer know that you're interested? And I think that's where like tech culture kind of like has bridged that gap of like, they can kind of throw you something a little extra, but you're still getting paid for it. And then see where you go, kind of go from there. And then it also, you know, some people in engineering, you don't have to be a manager. Like you don't have to go from senior software engineer to manager. You can go to staff, to principal, whatever it is.
But also, I keep thinking of like one-on-ones, weekly one-on-ones that you might have with your manager. You can express, hey, I want to get into blank, and they can try to get you like some exposure. They can try to get you to work on something that you might not normally work with.
Or even in your current role, right? For you.
Yeah.
You ask, how do I get to senior front-end engineer?
Yeah.
And they say, okay, well, you need to be able to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And then in the next, you know, you keep asking like, okay,
and
how did
week,
I do here? How
we
did
can
I do
check
here?
In.
How did I do?
Yep.
Most importantly, you listen to the Story Points podcast, front end engineering.
There we
episode,
go.
Episode seven?
Seven. Episode seven. We give great tips on how to become a front end engineer and also UI development.
It's a good plug. I think one of the things too that makes my field so different is that a lot of these jobs you'll be part of like a union.
Yeah.
And that's definitely different. So like, I mean, it depends on your union, but typically you're guaranteed raises in your pay scale.
Oh, like, you are?
A lot of them do that. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Based off
how.
Your years. So it's like, I think generally I am a pro union person because they do watch your back in certain aspects. And like where I work, it's like through the union, I get like my health insurance and stuff, and they determine the pay scale and all that. However, it's just like you can kind of see like some of the people that have been there for a while, they've almost been spoiled by the union because mm-hmm. they're totally at the top.
So they just coast.
And they totally coast. And then that's the thing. It's like they'll never want to go that extra mile. You know, like they'll never try and learn more.
Yeah.
But they're kind of protected by it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's kind of the battle where like I know going forward, a lot of companies don't want to have unions because of that. Because then they kind of creates people that you just literally can't get rid of. Like in my specific company, it's we have both. Like a lot of us are in union. They can still get rid of us because we're contracted workers. But they do have more permanent union people, and it's created a big problem for them right now mm-hmm. because it's taking up a roster space they can't fill, and they have no skills where they need to use them.
I think that's a great point because accounting, obviously things change, like laws change, but never super drastically. So once you know it, you kind of know it. Or I feel like tech, it's probably much harder to coast because things are always changing. You kind of have to be up to speed.
Depends what company you're at.
Yeah. Some companies
honestly,
are
yeah.
more willing to like use the latest technology.
Right,
some
yeah.
like,
so
we're, no, we're not going to change anything. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. As long as you're not doing Python 2. Python 3.
Shit. There's two?
No, but there's actually like, you know, we joke a lot about like rest invest, right? You go to Google, rest invest. But if you go to a startup, not even a startup, let's say Capsule or Compass, more established, they will figure out eventually like, yeah, you're not doing your, you're not
what
pulling
you,
your
what
weight.
Do you, what do you
yeah.
mean rest invest? Just like doing nothing
rest,
in your
like
company,
just chill, like, get your work
yeah,
done,
pretty
and then
much.
Let your stocks
and then you,
yeah. That's like a Google thing or is that?
That's like a big company. So what they call FANG. Facebook, Amazon,
okay,
Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of that before.
Apple. Netflix anymore?
Yeah. Didn't they change that?
Amazon, Apple.
Oh yeah, Mango.
It's Mango.
Mango.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
there
Mango.
You go. I actually just heard that term the other day.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So it's like that's a big thing where they are so competitive with hiring that they just want to hire everybody. Pretty much.
Yep.
Like, if we can just hire everybody, we can control the whole software market.
Yeah.
So we can do everything, right? Yeah. So a lot of times what will happen is like, let's just say Google will buy a company out. And that, for example, Nest, the, you know, the thermostat.
Okay.
Have you seen an update from them? No, because my Nest app crashes. So for example, Nest, a great product. Google bought them. Nest as a company is excited. They got an exit. They got a ton of money. But most of their employees were probably investing their stocks of Google now or whatever mm-hmm. it is. And mm-hmm. they literally just gain more money.
Interesting. Yeah.
Get their salary and then gain more money. So like a lot of times in tech companies, you know, you'll hear, I work at Amazon and I make $500,000 a year, right? What do you guys think of when you hear 500,000?
I would think like base salary. Like if just like my immediate reaction when I hear like I make 500,000, I'm thinking 500,000 divided by 12 divided by 2. Like
Exactly. And it's like it's such a weird tech culture thing of when we apply, when we go, we get an offer letter from a job, we are expecting stock. We are expecting equity to the company. So when you hear someone say, I work at Amazon, I make 500,000, they probably make 250 and then they get the rest in stock.
Just a measly 250.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but there are people who like, they'll complain like, yeah, that's not enough for me. I need to be making X, Y, Z. Hmm. And it's like, dude, we don't have enough runway for that.
I mean, it's kind of like with Bezos and Elon Musk, right? Everyone, like, oh, he's worth $1 billion. It's like, but he doesn't have $1 billion of cash. It's the value of his stock owns at the same time.
He can be worth zero at the end of the day if the market just crashed completely, right?
So since we're talking about money, I figured this might be a good topic too, because, you know, in the working from home, we talked about how that was an option prior to, and also the flexible scheduling. So do you think, I don't have the stats, but I feel like it would be safe to assume like tech salaries are typically on the higher end. And with that being the case, do you think it evens out in terms of amount of hours worked? I assume for the most part, like especially you, Roger, like a startup, the lead engineer, all of that, you're not working just 40 hours, you're putting in more time. So like, do you think that time kind of evens out and that's why you get paid more?
I think you'd get conflicting views for sure. I've worked with people who say I am worth, not me, but they are worth $200,000 a year and they're only going to work 9 to 5 and that's it. If they get asked to work more, they are not, and they're going to say it's going to wait till 9 o'clock. I think that is a great movement in tech because
very union mentality right yeah there. It's very union of them.
Because we do get overworked a lot, especially, and it's something that people don't see for sure,
especially during COVID, like working from home, your work hours and off hours kind of blur. So like I'll end up just taking two big, like pretty much two lunch breaks, one for lunch, one for dinner, but like some days I'll just keep working. So I would say it depends on the person, like if they have those clear boundaries. I think COVID kind of like blurred the lines for a lot of people, but
definitely. And I feel like that's hard depending on the workload that you have to put out. Like I've seen it firsthand with my girlfriend, because she would have to work really late sometimes during COVID. And it was like ridiculous, like till like 10 o'clock at night just to get something done, where that's where it's so different from where I come from, because I can't do my job from home.
And that's why I wanted to ask. It's something that you hear that you think would be cool, like, oh, I can kind of work whenever, get my work done whenever.
Yeah, it sounds
great, but it's like you're on that schedule, and if you're working more, you're probably getting paid more.
A good example is like Q1, we had all this work slated for me. I was going through the end of the quarter just passed. Towards the end, we realized, oh, we didn't do XYZ. So like those weeks, I was working a lot more because it's just like a race. Like, oh, we have to finish all this. So like some weeks are better than others. Some months are better than others. It all depends on like how well you plan things out, how well you account for like things being thrown in that will like take up time.
I mean, it's not even just like accounting for the work. It's also like, or road mapping your work. With startups, things change instantly. Like your direction is one, is going down, you know, one path, it will drastically change to go down another path, and then you have to undo. It's almost like thinking, how would you feel, Jonathan, if you had like one cable go down one way and then 5 minutes later they said, nope, we're going down the other way, and then that, 5 minutes later go down the other way.
So that's actually happened before, but there's a big difference, and this is what I want to ask you guys, is that it sucks, but I also get paid by the hour. So my hours will turn into overtime if I'm there all night.
Time and a half.
So question.
So that's what I wanted to ask, though, is like, do you guys ever feel it's not worth it? Like when you're working those late nights, like do you ever have that thought where it's like, at least for me, I'm like, you know what? At least I'm getting extra money for this. Like, I always kind of feel justified when I have to work late. But like, and it's like, without diving in too much of like your actual salaries, but do you ever feel like, all right, at least I'm compensated at the end of the day, and that your perks are like totally, because sometimes I think about that, where it's like, maybe it's not so bad if your salary, as long as you're making enough money that you're happy, but you still have those perks where, like, you know, you need to go to the doctor, you can just go, come back, and still work. True. Like, whereas I miss a day of pay. Yeah. So it's like, I almost have to work overtime to make up.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, so that's like a big difference where it's like, I'm not trying to say, I don't know what's better than the other, but do you guys feel kind of like, it's fair.
Your work experience is similar to like people in the medical field.
Yeah. Right?
I think they get paid time and a half. They will, I think, hopefully. But I wish Joe was here to be able to answer this, because we all know Joe will bring his laptop out.
Oh, man. Everywhere middle of the guy goes.
We pour a tequila shot for the laptop.
Yeah.
Part of the group now.
Oh, yeah.
I remember holding that thing. But it... I think it depends on the person. It really does. For me, I actually really do enjoy my job. I enjoy solving these kinds of problems, being creative with tech. There's also the other side of it, of a lot of what we do is also maintenance, right? There's we're going to have a whole episode about this, of outages, right? So like, you know, all that great software that you guys use, how the hell do those outages get tracked? And one of us is awake and we're on call, so they can just page us and just be like, yep, there's something wrong, we need to look at the server, and then we'll wake up, go and
that's right,
fix it.
So you gave an example just now of like, you're aware that you're gonna have to put in extra time, but then right before you also said sometimes things change and you got to just get the work done. George mentioned the same. Jonathan, for you, like, do you know going into a project you're going to have to put in OT? Do you ever get OT kind of like sprung on you last minute?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, both. So some projects you just know, like, it's either it's available, you're allowed to work. I mean, typically it's weird, because as a contracted worker, you're not required. However, there's that underlying tone that, you know, if you work the overtime, it looks good and they will keep you around. Mm-hmm. You're more valuable if you're available. 100%. Like, everyone kind of just knows that. So you kind of want to find a way to work it where you stay enough. Unless you're trying to really make more money, then like, you'll just stay. So it depends. Some jobs, it's like, you're just kind of allowed to work. And right now with our workflow, with what they have going on, it's kind of just open. Like, if you're on a job that can continue, you can just keep working at it. However, it has been sprung up on me once before. I was working, on one job, and they just realized that they were basically a couple months ago refreshing one of their studios. They've been building like a whole IP system to run the network off of, and they were also moving stuff around in the equipment room, and they realized that they wanted a different set of camera cables that they were basically trying to cut over to. And these camera cables weren't even terminated, so it was just like a raw end of a cable. Mm-hmm. I am one of two people that can do that for them. So I had no choice. We stayed till like 2 a.m. And it was like one of those days where like, I couldn't wait to leave at 4. I was very tired and just like not feeling work. And they were like,
double down,
hey,
boy.
We actually need these live for testing before the show starts in the morning. And they test at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Like, they'll start prepping for their show. So they were kind of like, I remember joking with one of the guys in charge. I'm like, yeah, this is impossible, like, this won't get done. Somehow we did it, but it was crazy. And like, that was sprung on you. Like, yes, I probably could have left and the other guy would have been stuck to do it by himself. Jeez. But I mean, that's just not me.
But so I mean, like, yeah, so to that point though, right, you mentioned like, oh, there'll be people that they can depend on, and some companies can take advantage, because like, oh, Jonathan's always going to say yes to the overtime.
Yeah.
Or there's the other side of it, of they will say, let's say you do want to take a day off, just to rest. They'll give you that day off.
Yeah. Right?
And then still call you for the next day to come back, because you are contracted. So it's almost like you got under their trust, I would say.
I'd say so. Yeah, there's definitely a group of people that they feel like are kind of pretty safe. They trust them. They want them to keep working on things. But that's one of those areas where they can do better, because it's like, if you actually feel that way about people, and it's like, if I left or that other guy wasn't there, they'd kind of be screwed. Like, they'd probably find a workaround where they would just not use it at the end of the day. But that's something that they wanted done. It was very important to them. So, like, it's kind of one of those things where, like, if you're trying to progress, you need to do things for your workers. You need to be there.
Yeah, it's career growth. But
yeah,
it's also, like, that what you said kind of touches into something called a 10X engineer, that a lot of people talk about it in software engineering. Is someone
it, like, 10 engineers in one?
It's one person who can do the same amount
of work. A super extreme 10. Engineer.
like 10X amount of work. So, like, 10 amount of work for one engineer. But a lot of people are actually against it, because it's like, how do you, if, you know, engineer, 10X engineer can do so much work, how do I get promoted to the same level as that person? So how do you level out these levels, like, level out the levels, so to speak? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I have my own opinions about that, but I think it is important that people, you know, some people like myself are just very interested in tech. And it's okay. Like, I don't expect anyone that I've worked in my team to do the same amount of work that I do. As long as you do, like, quality work, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
As long as I could be like, hey, like, do you mind looking into this problem? Sure. Okay, cool. Like, I don't expect you to do the same amount of work as I do. Because, like, it was weird. Like, it took me a while to understand not every engineer wants to build a startup like I've wanted to.
Yeah.
I just thought it was something everyone wanted to do, because I met so many people who did want to do it. So yeah, it's like, it's an interesting topic.
I have a quick story about being a salaried worker before we go on to the next topic. So one of the downsides, as we said, is, like, you know, not having overtime. I'll give an example. When the quarter closes or year end close, as part of the tax team, I am like the last step. Like, the accounting group does everything, and then we are the last step. So that means when things need to be done on the quarter, you have to stay late. That's fine. Like, when I know I'm staying late to do something, I'm totally okay with it. So one time they were like, please stay on. We're going to have this done by 5:00. No problem. 5:00 comes. We need another hour. We hit a hiccup. 6:00. Okay, that's fine. And this was when we were still in the office. And it was frustrating, because it was like, I could easily go home and just open my laptop, and whenever you guys are ready, I can do this. But, like, that was just not a thing to do then. Finally, like, it's 8:00 and I'm sitting there hungry, miserable. Jeez. And they're like, we're not going to be able to finish this till the morning. So we'll do it in the morning.
Yeah.
It's, and it's like, I sat there for a couple hours, not getting paid extra.
For nothing.
You couldn't dinner, get nothing.
Like a Grubhub stipend.
I didn't even have, like, any other work to do. Like, my work was just waiting for this.
Yeah.
Like, I had prepped everything else, and that was super frustrating. And, like, I guess that's, you know, one of the trade-offs of not being hourly. But, I figure we roll into the next topic. Roger, you mentioned it very briefly, of taking a day off. And I think one thing I didn't mention earlier that I've seen a lot of tech companies do that I've never worked for a company that did is unlimited PTO. And I've seen mixed things about it, because I've read articles and stuff where it's like, unlimited PTO, people end up usually using less days than people who have, like, 2 weeks vacation per year. Yeah. So I was just wondering your take on that, and then also to see, like, what Jonathan's time off is.
I go first. I think it definitely makes it easier to take a random day here and there, because it's, like, common knowledge. Like, yeah, take a day off whenever you need it. If you need to take care of, like, family stuff, go for it.
Yeah. And also, like, for me, I'm the only engineer, so, like, I've been feeling burnt out. So it's like, I can just say, hey, I'm going to take this day off. I feel burnt out. There's nothing pressing going on, so I can take a day. And they have no problems with it.
When it comes to vacation, I'm, like, the opposite. It's almost like, so I had this talk with my manager. I felt guilty because my wife wanted to go on a 2-week vacation, and I was like, 2 weeks, I don't know if I can take that off. Like, I'm going to miss that, like, a whole sprint. Mm-hmm. And I told my manager, and she was like, why are you worried? Just go. Like,
now, are you
going to
go?
Don't even question.
Are you going to go and not have to check your laptop? Like, you don't have that
worry. I know I'm not going to have to check my laptop.
But you're going to.
But I'm bringing a laptop, and I'm going to make sure I can do stuff. Right. Just in
case of emergency.
Yeah, yeah, what happened? You were telling me I shouldn't be bringing my laptop on vacation.
That was your honeymoon. I'm going to Poland. What else am I going to do?
They don't have internet there.
Yeah, I'll be lucky if I get Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and yeah. Like for balanced, I know actually a lot of tech companies, they'll actually say now like minimum 14 days.
Mandatory.
Wow. So for us, it's a minimum of, I think, a week, a quarter.
Nice. I know.
To
yeah,
people
I know,
to take off.
I know one person in finance who's required to take 2 weeks straight off at least once per year.
Yeah.
Wow. My previous jobs, I'd always accrue like anywhere between 2 to 3 weeks per year. I'd always be able to swing like a week, but they were every quarter year end close. It was no, like you could have the flu and you had to come into work.
Yep.
There was no vacation the first 2 to 3 weeks of certain months of the year. So it kind of made it easier to use the days, because if it was outside of those months, it was very hard for them to say no.
It's like so many restrictions kind of helped.
Right. But then I know Jonathan mentioned like you have to go to the doctor. You lose that whole day. How did that work in terms of like time off?
It's definitely very, very different for me. But at the same time, kind of similar. What's interesting, technically, I have unlimited vacation too. As a contracted worker, you're not really required. Mm-hmm. If you need to leave, like, you're kind of allowed to leave. However, like, I was kind of explaining that undertone, like, you know, when they need you, you need to be there.
Yeah.
That's very apparent. So it's like, yeah, you can take time off. And typically what I'll do is we're allotted like just a handful of sick days for each year. Mm-hmm. I will use my sick days as my vacation days, mm-hmm. but I don't have actual vacation days. So anytime I'm not in that building, I'm not getting paid. So like people will try and like, you know, if you have to take a day off, maybe if there's work that Saturday, they'll work that day. They'll work that Saturday to try and make up for it. But it is very rough, because you constantly feel like you can't leave, you know, because it sucks going a week where you're not getting paid. Like, there's just no income coming in.
I just feel like it's not even just like income, but I think it's also like we like our jobs. For me, at least, like, I enjoy what I do. So it's like, oh, it doesn't feel like I'm working, really.
I will admit, I also want to take my laptop just to keep tabs on what's happening at work.
Which kind of makes sense. I totally get that. Because if it's like, if you have a job that you can work from home and you're still part of this ongoing system, it helps to kind of know where things are at.
Yeah.
So I understand that, especially if you like your job, it's like nothing against that. Mm-hmm. It's definitely different, because I actually do really enjoy the work that I do. There's hard days, don't get me wrong, but I do enjoy it. I enjoy working with my hands, but I can't do it physically. I also take a train that almost takes me an hour to get to my job. So it's like, it's hard for me to say like, hey, I have a doctor's appointment or dentist appointment at like 10 o'clock. I won't get there till after lunch, and the day is over by 4. So it's like, it's not even worth it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you're kind of pitted into like, you just don't even come in.
Yeah.
So that's definitely pretty difficult. I do have a question for you guys though. In your companies, is there any mandatory time off where it's not like, oh, you have to take 2 weeks a year, but like, are there holidays? Do you get like Christmas?
Interesting.
Or Thanksgiving?
Most tech companies, I don't know if you guys actually know this. I didn't know this for a while because I wasn't part of them. But a lot of tech companies will actually shut down between Christmas and New Year's.
Wow.
That's interesting.
They will actually just say, hey, you don't have to work, but we're shutting the office down.
So if there's an outage or something,
the teams will work it out.
Yeah.
But the point is, a lot of people take time, like they'll, like you guys said, you save up those days off for that holiday swing, and they do it for that reason, because they know everyone's going to be off. Why do we bother paying the electricity of the building?
Yep.
Stuff like that. Like, you don't think about it, but that costs companies money. Like,
that's so smart, because I remember I used to love going to work like the week of Thanksgiving and the week of Christmas. I would never take
extended weeks.
Yeah. So I'd go into the office and like, no one's there. No one's bothering me. Like, I have very minimal work to do, and I'm just sitting in a nice, quiet office. It was almost like an extra vacation for me.
Yeah, I remember always just being like, I'll take support this week. Because usually, like, if your app is pretty good, there's nothing you got to do. So I'm like, all right, it's like extra time. I just have my laptop open, watch things.
But I did not know that. That's very interesting. And again, one of those things where other companies, I feel like, would benefit from.
Yeah. Like, is it time for everyone to recharge? You don't have to use your vacation time. Because there are some tech companies that don't give you unlimited. They will give you like, hey, you'll get a month, let's say, for the whole year, and you accrue it. But it's different than the, 2 weeks or so that a lot of companies standard to do.
Yeah.
And definitely, like, things kind of work kind of slows down. So, like, you don't release any major changes around the holidays to, like, give everyone. Because
everyone's winding down.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have been talking for a bit, and I also want to kind of end on more of a positive note, because I think we've talked a lot of negatives. I kind of want to go back to talking about one-on-ones and kind of like career growth in tech, because tech is like so much more transparent. I hear stories from my brother, you worked with him, Greg, and I just can't imagine where I can't give feedback to my managers. And just telling them like, hey, this did not work for me. This was an awful decision. But it's also like, okay, it's not just me just complaining about something. We talk about it. What can we do to make it better? And it's like constantly like collaborating on kind of making the culture of the company kind of better.
So one thing I'm looking forward to with my new job is my boss already reached out and was just like, we're going to get you on. You're going to do training. We're going to get you on some projects to help with. And then once you're settled in, we're going to talk about like what we see you doing long term here.
Yeah.
So there's already discussion of like,
there's a long term plan.
Yeah.
1 to 2 years of what your life can be like.
Right. Exactly.
Working there. And I think one thing that's like super important for people to know is like, if you are in the tech industry or if you do have one-on-ones with your managers, always ask them what kind of feedback they can give you, because they're not going to tell you what you should be doing better or what you did good, for example.
Another point also in retros. So normally like companies work in sprints, 1 or 2 weeks. At the end of the sprint, you have retro where you just look back.
We had that episode already.
And figure out, you got to plug the episode number.
Episode 4.
There you go.
Thank you.
Is it actually? Oh, wow.
He's been doing this for a while. Some would say we're senior podcasters.
Yeah.
Wow.
But in our retros, there is a section of it dedicated to what didn't work, what do we want to try, and what do we want to change. So like, we could bring up, hey, remember that one day where you went through and asked us a million questions? Like, stop doing that. If you don't know, like, ask us on the side or something. But like, that was annoying. So like, we've suggested really weird things. Like, let's just have our daily meetings be 5 minutes and just boom, boom, boom. Is everyone okay? Yeah. Who has a problem? Okay. You stay on. Everyone else can leave. So I think tech companies are very open and receptive to feedback.
That's so different.
Do you notice like a response when you say, hey, we didn't like this?
It's good because like a lot, like some people on my team are kind of shy. So like if I bring something up and I just start ranting, I know someone else is going to chime in and say like, oh, I agree.
But is it hurt? Like, do changes happen based on that?
Yeah.
You've seen it? Because I know like my last job, there was one major change they made a few years in and everyone hated it. And they were like, this is terrible for this reason, this reason, this reason. And we should do it this way. And it never changed it. They just kept pushing it until people just gave up on complaining. And it was kind of disappointing. Like, everyone just kind of learned to adapt to it. But there was like, the feedback wasn't really there. It was just kind of like, sorry, this was tough. Here's a pizza party.
But that's typically what will happen like in a lot of companies.
We have pizza parties every day.
Yeah. Oh, it's called free lunch. That's happened to us too. It's, there's definitely none of that. Like, the fact that you guys work in sprints and have a retro, that's like a wild concept to me.
Yeah.
That they really care what you have to say. And I don't know if it's also just like a trade work thing. It's just like, you're there to just do the job, just do it. Like, you can't tell your supervisor, this didn't work for me. They just basically tell you,
figure it out. Or
can you curse on this?
Yeah.
They tell you to shit in your hat, and that'd be it. Like, that'd literally be the end of it. But
you're going to have to go get a new hat.
Dude, what's with these weird phrases you say?
We have a lot of weird ones. But like I was saying, they're trying to kind of change things.
Crabs in a barrel.
Some of the feedback that I gave to them was like, you can start including us in meetings. Like, when you're designing things, it's not like I expect to be the be all end all voice, but an engineer doesn't know the physical limitations of what they're trying to do because they've never done it.
Yep.
And that's what we come across when building it. And there's just kind of the culture of like, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. They come, we show them, oh, you're right. And it's like, but that could have been avoided had I just been in this meeting.
Sounds like front end and designer thing that we were talking about.
Yep. I've run into that.
Yeah.
Episode 7.
That's like, you guys should kind of be happy you have stuff like that. That is huge.
Yeah. And then, but to get back to the culture, it depends on your manager.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. At the end of the day, it will depend on the manager because it does, like, you know, I've been lucky to have good managers and I've been unfortunate to have bad managers where they'll be like, well, shit out of luck, just do the work. And it's like,
question,
great.
Which one did you have first? Like, when, if you had a bad manager, did you know he was bad before you had a good one?
That's,
you know, a what good I mean question. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, this guy's pretty good and then you get another one.
Actually, no, I had a good manager first, okay, and then I that's had good. A bad
so
one.
The standard was set.
Yeah. And then I was like, this is awful, I'm miserable, and then I got let go because I wasn't doing work because he wasn't giving me work. So it was like, if you told me what I was doing wrong.
Yeah. Shit in your hat.
Yeah, shit in your hat.
Shit in your hat.
This is a moral of this podcast, if we want to wrap it up.
To end,
you know,
on a positive note.
Yeah, just shit in your hat.
Positive note.
So I think this was good because we talked a lot about, again, like I said it earlier, the grass is greener, where you hear a lot of things about the tech field.
Yeah.
So it's good to get the input from two people who've been in it for a good amount of time to see, like, you know, not everything is as great as it seems, and then vice versa from...
Yeah, the contrast of comparing, or contrast and comparing of tech companies to non-tech companies. You know, it was wild to me that we, you know, we have one-on-ones with our... We see our managers all the time. You guys don't talk to your managers at all.
We have paid time off that I'm afraid to use.
You don't
but
need to rub
we
it
still...
in.
Yeah.
We're going to work on that for you.
Yeah. You got Johnny over here being like, I need that paid time.
Listen, we didn't even touch on it, but I can't go to work in flip flops.
Yeah,
we're gonna
get you to a point where you tell your manager to shit in his hat. You're going on vacation.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, you want to continue your wrap up?
Yeah, if you feel like shitting in our hats, you can email us at storypointsdev@gmail.com.
Yeah, you got it. And you can subscribe to us on all major streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, all that stuff. We are Story Points, stories about engineering. I say that with a question mark. I've been thinking about
Ron Burgundy.